Now we're up to page, in Maimer Revi, it's page 90 in our print, which is in the middle of the longest arichos in the whole Maimer. Here, the king asked the chaver to explain to him the concept of the Sefer Yetzira, of one of the books, Kabbalistic books, and specifically the Sefer Yetzira. And the Kuzari used an expression that we learned before, that God created the world with words, what he called Sefar, Sipor, V'Sefer. Concept, the spoken word, and the written word. That an idea can be spoken and written, and those three together are what Hashem said, Yehi Ar, it means Hashem created the concept, the words, and the written word of Yehi Ar, and somehow that is Sefer Yetzirah. With those words, Hashem created the world, however that works. Now, page 90, V'Hischayev Mizeh, we come to one of the topics of which the Kuzari is very fond, and that is the Hebrew language. In a number of places in the book, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi discusses the beauty of Lashon Kodesh. And it's not surprising, because Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was a poet, somebody who had expertise in language, so it's not surprising that he speaks about language in such a lofty way. However, in this piece, he touches on a machlekes rishayim and a sugya in brachis. You would think that this is so esoteric, it has no shaychus to halacha. It's not true. So I'm going to learn with you the few words and then explain to you exactly what the mefarshim on the bottom discuss. V'hischayev mizeh. Now, since he established that Hashem created the world with words, Hischayev mizeh l'shum ma'ilu v'yisrael l'lashon ha'kodesh. It obligates us to understand that the Hebrew language has some special meaning, that the words have a connection to the things that are created. V'shamalachim yaiser chayshishin la u'margishim mizulasa me'halashaynais. And he says angels are more moved by Lashon Kodesh, and this is the language that matters to them. Now that idea is an idea which is based on a Gemara. The Gemara is in Brachis, and the Rishayim there, the Rishayim on the page, the Rosh in the back, argue about the meaning, the concept of the Gemara. The Gemara says that when a person davens, if he's davening b'yechidus, he should only daven in Lashon Kodesh. If you daven with a minyan, you could daven in any language. You want to add to Shemot Esrei a request, you can do it in English, even English, which God understands. Yiddish, certainly God understands, we know. But even English, you could daven in any language. However, when you daven to be yechidus, not to do that way. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Al Yishal Odom Tzirachav B'Loshon Arami. This is where it gets tricky. The Gemara says you should not make your requests in Aramaic. She'ein malachei hashareis diskakin lai lefi she'ein eskim makirim b'lashon aramis. That's the language that's quoted here at the bottom of the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says don't daven in Aramaic because angels don't understand it. Now what does that mean? The angels don't understand Aramaic. What about English? Is it only Aramaic they don't understand? Or is it even Aramaic that they don't understand? So there's a heavy difference of opinion. There's some Rishayim, such as the Rosh, who maintains that angels understand every language. But Aramaic is a perverted Lashon Kodesh. Aramaic is close to Lashon Kodesh, as you know. They share many words, and many of the words are slightly different. Zahav is gold in Lashon Kodesh, and Dahav is gold in Aramaic. Zayin and Dalit, or Barzel and Bardel are Mischalim. So it's a sort of a Lashon Kodesh that's bent out of shape. So the Rosh maintains that the angels understand all languages. And the Rosh holds you could have it in English, be Yechidus too. Just not Aramaic. So Aramaic is a no-no.
Maybe a more fundamental question, but what difference does it make when angels understand?
The question is, what does it matter what angels understand? So the idea is that in a minyan, Chazal say that the Shechina is Shruya, that the Shechina is there. Now, of course, the God is everywhere, but it means that the tefillah, so to speak, goes a direct line when you have minyan. When there's no minyan, the malachim help it along. Now, malachim are not necessarily winged creatures. There are certain concepts that HaKadosh Baruch created in the world that can help along. What's a malach? You did mitzvahs. You create malachim. Those mitzvahs, those malachim help your tefillahs up to heaven. So, what? So we have to understand that. But okay, but that's what it says. There are opposite extremes. One shita is Aramaic is the worst, the lowest, I should say, of all the secular languages. And therefore, when the Gemara says, Malachim is Lashon Kodesh, not Nistak Lashon Kodesh, not they don't understand, they understand everything. But they despise Aramaic. And that's the Rosh Hashita. The Shita of the other Rishayim is the opposite. Aramaic is the holiest of the secular languages because it's closest to Lashon Kodesh. And when the Gemara says, don't daven b'yichidus in Lashon Aramis, shem alachim niskakim by, it means even Aramis, even the best of all of these other languages also don't. So now we have the opposite extremes. First of all, Aramis is or is not a good language. And secondly, also opposite extremes into what Malachim understand. On the bottom of the page of the Kuzari, this is the standard text. It has the Oitzer Nechman on the right, on the outside, and the Kol Yehuda on the inside. Now, first of all, I want to tell you a rule for all Hebrew holy books. The inside Mefayrish is always the earlier one. That's the rule. Whatever's closer to the spine is the earlier, and outside is the later one. Rashi on the inside, Tosis on the outside. In Shulchan Aruch, you have the Taz on the inside, the Shach on the outside. In Chesh Mishpat, you have the Sma on the inside, the Shach on the outside. It's a rule of just the way, I don't think there's any special holy reason for it, it's just the way Sifrei Kodesh are written, are printed. So you have here the Kol Yehuda, who I think goes back about 400 years, the Yitzhak Nechma goes back about 200 years. They take opposite sides in explaining the idea that of the Kuzari that I just read. The Kuzari's language is Malachim Yaisa Chayshish in La. Malachim are more Chayshish, they care more about Lashon Kodesh. So the understanding of Kol Yehuda is that they understand everything. Just the idea is that they, the Lashon Kodesh is their language. The Yitzhak Nechma takes the tack that, the Malachai Shor is a Makirin, B'Lashon Arami. Be that as it may, it's a very interesting proof that the Kol Yehuda brings. We find in the book of Daniel, the dream, the handwriting on the wall. The English expression, the handwriting on the wall, comes from a dream in Balshetzer's feast. Now, Balshetzer made a feast, and he took out the clay Beis HaMikdash. He made a calculation, it was 70 years to Bavel. He misunderstood. He thought Yirmiyah's Nevuah was that 70 years to Bavel, Jews would return. That's not what it says. 70 years to Golus Bavel. But anyway, he miscalculated, and he made a feast. He said, the Jews are not going back. He took out the clay Beis HaMikdash and made a feast with them. In the middle of the feast, a hand appeared and wrote 16 letters on the wall. Four lines, four letters each, and in Hebrew, Hebrew letters, I should say. And nobody could figure out what it meant. Daniel comes, and he figures it out, and then the dream is interpreted, the vision is interpreted. The letters were Minah, Minah, Tokil, Ufarsin. They're here in the bottom. If you look in the Kol Yehuda, it says Daniel Hay, about 12 lines or 13 lines up. It brings the language of the book of Daniel. Ba'adein means then. Min kadmoi, before them, Shaliach pasa diyada, came out the hand, a pasa diyada, a palm of a hand. V'kosva dinar roshim, v'dinar ksava Roshim. And it wrote the following impression on the wall, and these are the words that it wrote. Minah, minah, taklu farsin. It was, I said there were four lines of four. There were actually five lines of three. As it was minah, three, taklu, three, ufarsin was split. It was which is six. So it's Va'kaisiv Malach Hashem Tzavakaisiv. Now what happened in that vision is that a Malach wrote it. So says the Kol Yehuda, that's Aramaic. What he wrote is, God judged you. Minah means he counted. He counted your counting. Takal, he weighed your merits and debits. Ufar said, you were found lacking, you're going to be broken. And that night, the bubble was overthrown. That night, the surprise attack from Daryavish Hamadai, the Medians came and overnight overthrew Bavel, and Balshatz was killed in his sleep. So Zokta Kol Yehuda, it's a raya that the Malachim understand Aramaic, because Malachim wrote it on the wall. That's what he said. So I'll tell you what I was thinking. That seems like a great raya. So I'll tell you what I was thinking. Rembrandt has a painting of Balshatz's handwriting on the wall. It's a famous painting. All of his biblical paintings are very vivid. You should see once his painting of the Akedah. Unfortunately, Avraham Avinu doesn't have a yarmulke in it, but besides that, it's just a vivid picture of what it's like for a man to sacrifice his son. There's just a lot of feeling in it. He has a painting of Bilam and the donkey. What? Yeah, sure. What? Yeah, Rembrandt wasn't Garris to Muslims. He went to Jews. But my point is this. Rembrandt has this painting. The painting was on display here at one time. When it was on display here in Manhattan, they had biblical paintings that I don't know how they got to Rembrandt here, but sometimes these things go on display. And they had a plaque explaining it. The plaque said the following. It said, Rembrandt obviously did not know Hebrew, because he made two mistakes. He said he must have gotten somebody who knew Hebrew to tell him what to write. He said he made two mistakes. One is that the Vav looks like a Zion. If you look at the Vav, it looks more like a Zion. So he made a mistake on the Vav. It would be a Sefer Torah, it would be possible. That's one. And the second thing he says is he thought Jews write Hebrew like the Chinese down, because the letters were written Minah, mem nun aleph, tuf kuf lamet ufarsin. So those are the two things. So when I read that, I laughed. Why? Because the Gemara asks, why couldn't they read it? They could read Aramaic in Bavel. Minah, tak lufarsin. So the Gemara answers, actually Rabban Shmuel, but the Gemara answers, what if it's Teretzin? Because it was written down, and they were reading it across. Because they knew Hebrew was Aramaic is across. And they could. Daniel came and he revealed to them, no, you have to read it down. So apparently whoever made that plaque, you know, Rembrandt knew more than them, not less than them. He said, Rembrandt didn't know. He knew the Gemara, someone told it. After I read that, I was thinking the Kol Yehuda's kasha is answered. From that. Because you're saying Rembrandt didn't know Hebrew. But someone told him what to do and he did it. So Kol Yehuda says, the Malach must have known Aramaic. He wrote it. What's the raya? Maybe the Malach was like Rembrandt, and they told him what to write, and he wrote it. He doesn't know what it means, but he knows what a tough is and a mem is. And no, is that a good answer? So the Kol Yehuda's proof seems to. He says a kaisim Malach Hashem Tzavah kaisim. So anyway, his proof is not an absolute proof, but this is it's a heavy dispute. There's a question why Kaddish is in Aramaic. We say Kaddish is Kadelvius Kaddish in Aramaic. So there's a question as to why. What?
People spoke Aramaic.
It could be because people spoke Aramaic. There's the Tosfos says that on the contrary, Aramaic, the Rabbi Yaakov has a piece, he explains the Tosfos. Tosfos is in the first parak in Brachos, in the bottom of Roman Aleph. He says like this, that we have a tefillah, Baruch Shem Kavai Machusa Le'olam Vo'ed, that we don't say out loud. We say Shema, we whisper Baruch Shem. Why do we whisper it? So one of the explanations is because it's a very special tefillah, and we don't want the malachim to know that we daven this tefillah. So we whisper it like we don't show off that we know. On Yom Kippur, we were like Malachi Hashem, so we say it out loud. Kaddish, the high point of Kaddish is Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach L'Olam L'Omei Olmaya. That is an Aramaic translation of Baruch Shem Kavai Machusai Loimon Voed. Right? Baruch Shem Kavai Machusai. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach. Loilom Voed is Lolam Lomi Amaya, forever and ever. So what the pshat is, Baruch Shem is a very special tefillah. We whisper it. Because Yehei Shmei Rabba is saying Baruch Shem Kavai Machusai out loud in a language the malachim don't understand. So that aspect of jealousy doesn't apply. So that's the explanation of why Yehei Shmei Rabba is in Aramaic. She'ei malachei asharis niskakim lo. Now, of course, that fits with the Shita, malachim don't understand it. Shita that holds that malachim do understand it, the social Torah falls away. An individual is supposed to daven in Hebrew. In its Sibur, you could daven in any language. You could open a Siddur and daven in English, and you could, Yechidus could bench in English, could do Chiyuvim in English, but Tfilis are supposed to be said, it's not an Aveira to do it differently, but it's not effective. An effective Tfilah, Yechidus is supposed to be in Lashon Kodesh, and otherwise in Aramaic. Anyway, this is, these couple of lines here in the Kuzari. And he says, "Valzeh neimar b'michtav kitzuras aisyais einam v'lay kavana u'b'mikra." And for that, we say that the shape of the letters is not just convenience. In English, A is an A and a B is a B. There's no structural significance. In the Aleph Bay, since the Sefer Yetzirah employed the Aleph Bay, must be that there's a structural significance. Einam v'lay kavana. They're not without intent, u'mikra, and happenstance. But on the contrary, everything is with a deep kavana. And we're going to see, I guess we'll continue. The chart on the bottom may remind me to explain that chart on the bottom on Thursday when we continue. We have Ksav Ashuris from Ezra. However, I think most Rishayim hold, and the Gemara says Beferish, that even before Ezra, Jews wrote Sefer Torah Luchais in Lashon Kodesh in Aksav, because it says Mem B'Sam Shabu Luchais B'nei Sayuaimdim. People are totally unaware this Ksav Ivris and Ksav Ashuris. Our Aleph Beis is Ksav Ashuris, the Ksav that Ezra introduced to everybody. Prior to that, Jews used a different Ksav, Ksav Ivris. My oldest son was young. What? Sure, we know. Of course, we have it. What do you mean? They found a lot of stones with it. When they have the old Bar Kochba coins, and you look at it carefully, you can't figure out what it says in Hebrew. They tell you it says in Hebrew, Melech Yisrael, and you look. There's no Mem. There's no Lamed. There's no Chaf. And you know, there's an X for a Mem. You know, an X? What's an X? You know, it's totally different Ksav. But Mem Veluchas Shebeluchas Benesayoyim. That means the Mem was used at the end of Mem. The Ksav Ivris end of Mem doesn't have a hollow center. So it was always used according to those Rishayim. According to Talmud Bavli, the one we used there was you, but it wasn't used for Dvarim Shalchayil. That's why until our generation, all Svarim were done in what the people call Rashi letters. They didn't use it. Today, where the Hebrew letters are already used for everything, in Israel it's used for packages of candy, so already they figure you might as well write Svarim in it. What are we, you know, it's used for everything, we do it also. But for generations, Bedavka wasn't used except for things very holy. The center of the Gemara was Ashuris, and the outside was... The art Torahs, that's called Ksav Ashuris, that's our Aleph base. Not the same as Rashi, it's the same unit as on top. It's the same, the differences are only variations for the printer's convenience. For example, the shin was the major difference. The shin in the printed letter has a flat bottom. The real shin comes to a point. In days where they etched it by hand, it was just easier to make a flat bottom. And therefore, all the printed shins have flat bottoms. There's a tremendous a disagreement that goes back about 130, 140 years, if it's called ksav velish. Ksav velish is ksav that has a flat shin. And if it's kasher b'di'evet. But it's really the same ksav, ksav ashuris. It's just that... Yeah, it's a combination of vav and two zayins is the shin. The ches in the sefer is two zayins with a gag. So that is ksav. That's really ksav ashuris. It was easier when they printed it to make a straight top for the ches than to do two zayins. So it changed that way. But that's ksav ashuris, and this is an accommodation that was made, sort of a slang of it.
Flag.
Right?
The art scroll
has what?
Had some flag and something they wrote it.
The Nakudas they had. The art scroll in their Siddur, they had made Nakudas that were not round. They had a modern look to it. Right, a modern look. It was like a box with slightly rounded edges. And the art scroll, the first print of the Siddur, here it's already, they went back. The tremendous flag. It's very fascinating. There's a kuntres came out about it. It's a fascinating topic. But when they put out the Siddur originally, they didn't have dots. They had like little boxes instead of a dot. It looked cuter. It looked more modern. And they got a lot of flack over the tsura of the nekudas. Nekuda is a dot. And they didn't have the kudas, and they got a lot of flack over it. It's not, yeah, it's squares. It's not directly related to anything to do with Ksav Ashuris, but it's a... All right, we'll continue Mitzvah Shem on Thursday.